stay connected to Boston sports?
Who do you root for?
Connect with Boston's home for sports online. 98.5thesportshub.com. Talking about the game is no game.
Danny Ainge, what does it feel like the day you see your baseball card and the word bust is put next to it?
Toucher and Rich.
Okay, I don't have a problem with that.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. We've talked at length, and we apparently have a guy that Jimmy Stewart has recommended who covers the WWE, who can tell us, I'm actually interested, who can tell us about the reality of Rob Gronkowski and what that situation would be like if he actually went to wrestle.
Oh, I want to know how much money they think he's going to make, whether it's comparable to what he would make with the Patriots. There's a lot of questions.
What's his workload going to be?
Sure. There's a ton of things to figure out whether or not this is a reality of him retiring and possibly moving on from the Patriots. But Tommy Curran from our own NBCSN Boston was the other night was talking about some digging that he did, speaking to people about whether or not they believe some of the smoke surrounding Rob wanting to retire. And he revealed a couple details that I thought were interesting. And it kind of also paints a better picture of something that we saw in the Seth Wickersham article about maybe there is more trouble in paradise than we all expected. So please excuse the cool little jazz beat in the background, but unfortunately, this is the way that it was put online from NBCSN. So just enjoy the smooth sounds while Tommy Curran talks about the situation with Rob Gronkowski.
He didn't enjoy himself in 2017. He did not have a good time. Starting to wear on him. Physically, mentally, the atmosphere here in New England. This started in training camp. He seriously considered stepping away from the game in training camp. He kind of had it. At that point, his body wasn't responding. He wanted to train a certain way. The team didn't necessarily want him to train the way he wanted to train. They were at loggerheads. He was pissed. And the season played out. And by the end of it, I don't think that some of the principal players on this team were really happy with the atmosphere and the climate. All the stuff that we've reported about, all the stuff we've talked about, they still need to have a hell of an air clearing at Patriot Place to get these guys back. I don't think the Patriots have yet to take this extremely seriously. In my estimation, the Patriots haven't taken seriously just how beaten down he's been. But again, he talked about how training camp was embarrassing. It was humiliating. He couldn't play. And he had difficulty convincing people that he should be able to go and train a particular way to get right. I don't think the team's at a point where they think that they would need to trade him. I don't think he wants to play anywhere that Tom Brady isn't.
Okay.
Someone's cousin is like going to Berkeley, and someone at NBC Sports or Boston Sports, whatever the hell it is, his cousin is going to Berkeley, and they're like, Can I just get in there? And they're like, just riff, baby.
Yeah. That's on the CD of royalty-free jazz music that we just play in the background.
That is just bad.
But there is some stuff in there that I found very interesting. First of all, I don't know why Tommy Curran was tiptoeing around the whole, well, there was methods of training that he approved of that the team might not have approved of. It's a TB12 method.
No, I disagree. And it was funny because I was joking around about this, but I was actually kind of serious, is that I think Gronkowski just wants to get gigantic.
Well, see,
and they won't let him.
Here's why I think that is that this is, remember when the Boston Sports Journal with Greg Bedard wrote that story about there was a prominent Patriots player who had an issue with being told that they wanted him to do squats and that Alex Guerrero said they did not want him to do squats. And then there was the Seth Wickersham article that was saying that there was a disconnect, that there were players who felt that Guerrero was telling him to do one thing, and then there was the trainers with the Patriots telling him to do another. It's Rob Gronkowski.
But
he said he's doing the TB12 method,
yeah,
and that he's that's what he said.
Yeah,
and he even said it. You know, Tommy Curran was talking about it at the beginning of the season. He was upset with it. That's apparently what all this was happening.
He ain't doing the TB. I know we got into this before, but he ain't doing the same thing Brady's doing.
Well, I mean, I'm sure it's different, but I mean
Edelman's not.
But parts of it. But
I'm sure he'd let some, you know, massage his ass.
But I mean, it's almost exactly what was in the article about. You've got one guy telling him to train one way, and the Patriots telling him to train another way, and especially when you've got a track record with the team of things being handled poorly. Do you remember when he broke his arm and they rushed him back, and he ended up getting the infection in the arm afterwards, and that's when the whole the family got together and started writing joint statements, much like the NFL and Papa John's. That's there's a track record there of tension that's gone back years upon years now.
I believe it's a problem with the training staff and medical staff of the Patriots. I don't think it has anything to do with TB12. I think that he just wants to work out in his way, and they don't want him to do it.
Okay, well then we could both agree that that's
yes.
a problem
yes.
within
Absolutely.
The players. So
yes.
whether it's not TB12 right. or not, there is someone who's doing TB12.
Yes.
So there's the players are not quite trusting of the medical staff or the strength and conditioning staff with the Patriots.
I would agree.
That seems to be clear, no matter who the player is. On top of that, for him to come out at the beginning of the season and say that he wanted out even during like workouts, that's a little strange.
I don't think so. I think that
I mean it adds more fuel to the fire.
No, I know,
that he's out.
I've assumed now for over a year that he was on the cusp of leaving, because I don't understand why he would keep playing football. I had a kid on my basketball team very, very upset with me yesterday because I said it would be interesting if Gronkowski went and did something else. Very upset at me.
No, like, no one wants him to leave if you're a fan of the team,
except
obviously.
Fred Tucher. Fred Tucher wants him to leave the team.
I do want him to leave. I'm fascinated by what happens. If they let the leash off, I want to see him make movies. I want to see what's doing.
Well, you see, from a pure entertainment standpoint, that
would
be amazing.
Yeah, well, that's what everything is. Everything is entertainment.
And if you have faith...
I got no horse in this race. All I'm doing is sitting in front of the TV and watching football, or sitting in front of the TV and watching a movie. And right now, I'd rather see Rob Gronkowski on the movie than I would playing football. I know what he can do when he plays football. Now I want to see him run around like Roddy Piper. That's what I want to see.
And another thing that Tommy Curran wrote about as well, and by the way, how awful is it that Ronda Rousey stole Roddy Piper's like logo? Like, get your own.
Oh, you I didn't even that? Know she did that.
Oh, yeah. It's Rowdy Ronda or whatever
yeah.
it is.
Yeah. It looks like a t-shirt from Piper's Pit.
Yeah.
It really does.
Yeah, that's not cool. So, but this is something that, according to Tommy Curran, has been going on for a while with the Gronkowski family. It wasn't just the whole situation where they had to write the joint statement. It was what was the reason that happened. And that was because there were whispers around the Patriots organization that Rob Gronkowski was kind of lingering and that he was healthy enough to go back, but he was refusing to go back. Remember, that's what spurred that letter in the first place.
Yep.
So he's saying that's kind of where the distrust really became a real thing, a reality. Now, of course, they started winning, and he kept getting injured throughout that time. So this is not just something he decided to do in the middle of nowhere this season. It sounds like this has been a long time brewing.
And also, they don't let him do stuff as much as he wants to do. You know, and it's always training camp. I mean, the same thing with Ninkovich. Is Ninkovich got to training camp, and he tells you why. He got to training camp, and he's like, just, I don't want to do this again. Like, why am I doing this? And so Gronkowski probably has the greatest offseason. He gets to do what he wants to do. He gets to do all these projects. And then it stops. And then his agent comes at him and says, I have all these opportunities. And he goes, I can't do them. And then he's at training camp, which every player hates. And then he doesn't trust the medical staff, and he can't work out the way he wants to work out. I would leave, too. And then he knows he's going to take a beating.
It also takes a special type of person to be able to handle the type of way that team is run under Bill Belichick for an extended amount of time.
And
it's
this,
one
yeah.
thing to buy in for a couple of years and say, man, I want to win. I'm going to bite the bullet. I'm going to take this kind of no fun regiment, and we're going to win a lot of games. But to be there for, what is he, 8 years in now? To be there for 8 years and know that there's other people in the league, and he's already won, so maybe that appeal isn't there anymore, that I got to stick with it if I want to win a ring. He's already won. Maybe it'll wear you out a little more than you would think.
Or maybe now that you know that Rob Gronkowski, according to Curran, doesn't want to play for another quarterback other than Tom Brady, and he's not happy with the organization.
He's like, I'm done with the NFL.
No, this tells you that there is a schism between Tom Brady and the organization. I mean, there's no other way to read into it. If Rob Gronkowski would rather retire from football than play, have another quarterback throwing to him,
yeah,
then there is a problem between Belichick and Brady. And, you know, these things, all these relationships end at a certain point.
And real quick, I'm sorry, John. If he's gesturing wildly in the corner. If he felt that way at the beginning of the year, and like say there were some other players that might have kind of felt the same way. They didn't like the culture, and or not culture, but it was beating them down a little bit. Let's say he felt that way at the beginning of the season. How do you think he feels now and the rest of the players feel after Bill made the decision to keep Malcolm Butler off the field and could have cost them a Super Bowl?
See, I think that when it comes to Rob Gronkowski, that it goes well beyond that.
Sure, it does, but it makes it worse.
Maybe for some players, I think Gronkowski has a foot out the door, and he has for a long time. Why would he take that punishment? And again, as I've said before, if he keeps playing, here's what happens. Is A, chances are he gets depleted physically, and B, it's not as cute anymore when you're 35 and being Rob Gronkowski as it is when you're 29 and being Rob Gronkowski. You know, you can age out of it. You know the thing, the gif that one makes of Steve Buscemi when he's got the hat on and the skateboard?
Yeah.
Like, you know, Rob Gronkowski.
What's up, dudes? Yeah,
like, what's up, kids? Let's go skate, gnarly.
Right.
Like, you know, there's a point where the Rob Gronkowski act is an old guy pretending that he's in a fraternity, you know, out of Revenge of the Nerds.
Yeah.
So if I'm Rob Gronkowski, I'm taking this opportunity now. Because that's the thing, is that you have this offseason, they have all these offers in your lap, they're fun, they're not training camp, you're not taking a beating. And then it all has to stop. It all has to stop the minute camp starts.
Life's more fun. You're healthier. You can kind of call your own shots a little more.
No one wants to go to training camp except for Tom Brady. No one wants to go to training camp. They hate it.
Odell Beckham Jr. says he doesn't want to take one snap in training camp.
No.
Or no preseason,
one,
right?
Yeah, no one wants to do it.
The guy without the pedigree calling shots.
Sure.
Yeah. One thing that worries me is the Patriots aren't taking this seriously. That's one thing that Curran said that worries me, is that the Patriots aren't really taking this seriously yet. And I think they need to. I mean, here's the thing. You lost. You didn't play Malcolm Butler. You have this Rob Gronkowski thing. You have Brady with Guerrero on the other side. This is unprecedented. And remember, we were talking off the air, Rich, about how the Patriots could handle this Gronkowski thing. If Gronk was saying he's going to retire, he's going to leave, and the Patriots can sit on this for 2 weeks. I don't know if you can sit on this for 2 weeks. Free agency begins in 2 weeks. Would you not put it past the Patriots to do absolutely nothing, wait for free agency to start, see if you can find another tight end, and then go, okay, Gronk. Bye. Well, you know, we'll take a chance on Tyler Eifert, who just got medically cleared to practice or work out. We'll take a chance on somebody else. You know, we won a Super Bowl without you. You know, hell, we almost won without Brandon Cooks last year, losing our top receiver. There are a lot of things that we've been able to do without you on the field.
Yeah.
I just see the Patriots doing this, and I think it would be a gigantic mistake. If they were going to kiss and make up with someone, I think it would be with Gronk.
We have Mike Johnson. He is someone that Jimmy Stewart has highly recommended. Someone who follows the wrestling game.
Somebody said Gronk needs to go to the WWE, turn full heel on the Pats, dye his hair black, and come out in an Eagles jersey, just spilling all the Pats secrets.
He probably would.
That would be one way Vince would go.
You should impregnate the fabulous Moolah, and she should give birth to a hand.
Which is one of the more disturbing things I've ever seen on television.
It was actually not the fabulous Moolah. It was whoever the other lady was. But yes, she... John Henry, I believe, is the one who impregnated her, and she gave birth to a hand. You know, that's the highest ratings that wrestling has ever gotten, was that period of time.
Oh, see, I didn't realize that.
What year was that?
I was just out of college, so like 98.
I missed
97,
it.
Yeah, 98.
I was out of it by then. You're right. Like in early 2000s, when it was WWE or WWF at the time versus WCW, was like a massive
then
for
you
both
had the NWO.
Oh, yeah.
Black and red, baby.
All right.
On your phone, on the new Sports Hub app, and on your computer. 98.5thesportshub.com. Toucher and Rich. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
We're Toucher and Rich. Mike Johnson is one of the most well-known and respected writers covering the world of professional wrestling. He was personally recommended by Jay Stu.
Someone who might know some of the questions that we've been, because once again, we are not nearly as educated on the whole behind the scenes that someone like Rob Gronkowski would be involved in if he did indeed decide to go to the WWE.
It's PWInsider.com. Mr. Johnson, hello, sir.
Good morning, Fred and Rich. How are you guys today?
We are doing well. Very curious about Rob Gronkowski and the reality of him going to professional wrestling. First of all, for a guy like Rob Gronkowski, what would the money be like, in your opinion, and what would his responsibilities be?
His responsibilities would be he goes to WWE's Performance Center in Orlando, which is where they groom their younger talents, and they see what he's got physically. Now, he has appeared in the ring for WWE. Last year at WrestleMania, he got involved in what they call the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, which is a match where there's like 20, 30 guys, and they're all trying to throw each other out of the ring. Gronk has a very close friend who wrestles for WWE under the name Mojo Rawley, who he goes back with many, many, many years. In fact, Gronk has been at ringside at a number of events over the course of Mojo's career. Well, Gronk came out of the ring and helped Mojo knock a guy by the name of Jinder Mahal out of the ring. So he got to have like a little bit of cameo in front of like 70,000 people in Orlando last year. In terms of the money, I mean, there are guys in WWE who make upwards of $1 million a year. Gronk brings, obviously, a huge athletic acumen, a huge mainstream name, which only helps legitimize WWE, the same way like a Brock Lesnar does working there now, or the same way that Ronda Rousey, who just left UFC to sign with WWE, does. So he, you know, depending on what he could bring to the physicality of WWE, and if he can translate his charisma to the WWE stage, he could be pulling in, you know, high six to low seven figures. Again, it all depends on what he wants and what WWE can get out of him.
Hang on. I'm sorry. Low six figures? Or low seven figures?
High six, low seven.
Oh, that's way less than we had heard. Because people were saying that, and this is just from, once again, you obviously know way about more than we do, but we had been told that like Ronda Rousey's making like $6 million like for her. For her involvement in the WWE, is that way out of the numbers that you've heard?
Way out of the numbers that I've heard. Although, you know, you never know. She's a very unique, special case, and she brings a huge fan base with her to WWE. Now, Gronk, could they offer someone like Gronk that sort of money? Absolutely. It would very much turn over the apple cart of what their pay structure usually is. But similar to Ronda, he is someone that would be obviously very unique. He's not going to start from the bottom making $75,000 a year like a lot of the younger talents do. So, there's a whole Gronk machine there in terms of merchandising, in terms of legitimacy, in terms of knowledge that the audience would have about him. And, you know, to sign someone like Gronk, the entire idea is to get a fan base that knows him and to get the football fan base and the sports fan base and bring those eyes and bring that interest to WWE. And that comes with a higher premium than your average professional wrestler would cost WWE.
All right. If I'm Gronkowski, do I get a piece of the merchandising? And if so, how much does that add to the bottom line?
Well, all the WWE talents, they get a percentage of their merchandise when T-shirts and things like that are sold. You would think his name would get a higher premium in terms of a higher royalty than, again, your average WWE talent. You know, he'd probably get somewhere in the area of maybe 10 or 12%, where an average WWE talent might get like 2 or 3%.
Okay, so who is the highest paid per year person in the WWE right now?
It's either going to be John Cena or Brock Lesnar.
Okay, and what does Cena make?
I you know what? It differs from year to year, but he's got to be pushing a couple million dollars, and Brock's probably in the same area.
Like when you say a couple, you like $2 million?
Maybe 2 to 3, but you know, when you talk about merchandise and outside projects that they get based on their WWE run, like Cena's doing a lot of films now, Cena's doing a lot of TV production, he's got a reality show that's been on Fox for a couple of years now. He was just in Daddy's Home 2, which came out on DVD, so he's got a number of projects that he's involved in. So, you know, that push, obviously that's going to push the salary up. With WWE, you know, it's hard to put down exactly how much guys are making, because they kind of keep that very, even though they're a publicly traded company, they keep salaries very quiet. It's not like the NFL where there's a union or there's a salary cap, and it's very easy to kind of find out. Salaries are not publicly announced.
Okay, so from what you know about the plans for the XFL and Vince McMahon trying to launch this thing, do you think that there's going to be some sort of incentive like more than usual with a football player like Rob Gronkowski to get him involved and possibly make him associated in some sort of way at launching the XFL when it does end up going in like a couple of years?
It's always possible, but thus far Vince McMahon, and again, plans in that company change on a whim all the time. Vince McMahon has thus far said there's going to be no connection between WWE and XFL. That's one of the reasons why he opened up a separate company, Alpha Entertainment, to house XFL. And he's saying that there's not going to be any connection between one and the other. And he's even saying that he's not going to be publicly speaking or appearing on behalf of the XFL going forward. Now, I don't personally believe that. Vince is too driven to not have his fingers in the nooks and crannies of every single thing. But he's claiming there's not going to be any crossover. But like I said, things change in a whim with that company all the time. So if Gronk got involved, it only lent, you know, the idea that him being there to lend some credence and some credibility to the XFL as they're trying to bring it forward only makes common sense to me.
All right, so bottom line is Gronkowski, if he goes to WWE, he maybe makes $1 million in salary, $1 million in merchandise. At least. Okay, at least.
So what would be the max amount of money you think that he would make from joining the WWE per year?
It all depends. You know what? It all depends because guys who are great athletes, if they can't translate into what WWE looks upon for their top talents, they could plateau and end up sort of in the middle of the card or at the lower end of the card. You know, until he's decided, all right, I'm doing this and I'm going to bring everything that I've created for myself in the NFL to WWE, and I'm going to train and I'm going to see how great I can be as a pro wrestling performer. It's impossible to say because, you know, Brock Lesnar, about a decade ago, he left WWE with the intention of, I'm going to go to the NFL and I'm going to make a bunch of money in the NFL and he's a walk-on in the NFL. He never made one team, but he was able to go back to UFC and make a ton of money working in a different combat sport, obviously a legitimate sport versus a performance-based sport like WWE. It's impossible to say how an athlete's going to translate from one into the other, but there's a great history of football players who have moved from playing professional football and then became amazing, legendary professional wrestlers. Wahoo McDaniel played for the Jets, Ernie Ladd. There's a number of guys who have made that transfer over. You know, the sky's the limit. It all depends on how well he can take his athletic acumen and transform it into an act that will make WWE audiences interested and will make them want to pay to see him, make them want to pay to subscribe to the WWE's streaming network, and make them want to buy Gronk merchandise. It's quite possible he can make, you know, a couple million dollars once he's off and running.
All right, Mike Johnson, you can read his writing at pwinsider.com. We appreciate you so much. And any words for Jimmy Stewart?
You're on the road to WrestleMania, sir.
All right, there you go. Everyone loves James Stewart.
All right.
Well, if he can only make a couple million dollars, that flips the script a little bit.
That flies in the face of everything I've heard up to this point. As a matter of fact, somebody just sent me an article from Forbes, and it was the highest paid wrestlers in WWE, and they said that John Cena made $8 million last year.
All right.
So $8 million is what John Cena made. Now, will he make $8 million right off the bat, Rob Gronkowski? I don't think so. But I sure as hell don't think they're going to pay him.
That's just wrestling? That doesn't include his films and any of that?
I sure as hell don't think Rob Gronkowski is going to make $1 million. There's no way. He's worth so much more than that. Just on people who would tune in, who don't watch. I'd watch it. Put it this way. I don't watch wrestling. I would tune in when Rob Gronkowski is on. I have nothing against wrestling, but I'm not a regular watcher. I'll watch when Gronk's on. And there's a lot of people like me who would do that. So that just what he.
Well,
just
I just
said,
like the idea that he would have to go down the power plant.
Yeah, no, he would just have to show up. Right, they want his face, they want his name.
Yeah,
he'll have to learn a couple of dumb moves.
Doesn't have to be a technical wrestler to succeed.
He's got to go to the power plant and plug in.
And I guess Lesnar got like $6.5 million.
Yeah, well, there you go. The figures are all over the place. Here are the headlines.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We'll be right back. This is what's the best. This is the best mashup I've ever heard.
Is my mic on?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
That's the best mashup I've ever heard.
That's impressive.
That is I heard it round and round through the grapevine.
Now that's live, right?
No, that is Rat mixed with Marvin Gaye's Heard It Through the Grapevine.
I'm having problems with my headphones.
Mashups almost never work. That one is perfect.
They should sue Marvin Gaye's estate. Should sue Rat immediately.
I don't think Rat released that. I think just some guy.
Copied the song. Because obviously they copied the song.
Yes,
it's the all right, same. Be listening this morning at 7:50 for your chance to score a 4-pack of tickets to the Harpoon St. Patrick's Day Festival Friday, March 9th, under the heated tents at the brewery. For tickets, visit harpoonbrewery.com. Love beer, love life. Harpoon, it's we're going to have on a special guest later in the show who's requested to come on later in the show.
Do we thumbs up, thumbs down? Do we try? Okay. Yeah, they're not expecting to come on now anyway.
All right. So, but it is a young woman who's been on the show who has got news that we will like to hear. But the news that broke yesterday that got everyone going crazy is that Papa John, they have pulled out of the NFL.
They're no longer the official sponsor, pizza sponsor of the NFL.
And if you follow Darren Rovell on Twitter, which is
a delight.
I mean, you obviously do.
Did you see that one picture he took of him posing with a jacket on, with like the super smooth look on the red carpet? People were Rovelling, and they were wearing like jackets and looking towards the camera like he was.
What red carpet was he on?
Oh, it was something like really sad. I'll have to find it.
Like the Papa John Kick-Ass Awards?
Maybe.
Well, he tweeted out a joint statement. He said, joint statement from the NFL and Papa John's on Papa John's giving up official pizza sponsorship. I mean, Darren, when are you not going to break news? I mean, how you're daring people not to follow you on Twitter. I mean, can you imagine if you were just walking around like some jackass without a Twitter account, not following Darren Rovell, and then you get to the water cooler this morning, and everyone's like, have you heard the big news? And you're like, what, Kushner? He's got the security status? And they're like, no. And you're like, I don't know. What, the Bruins are there? The Nash signing? They're like, no. Papa John's is no longer the official pizza of the NFL.
Well, I like how they had to issue a joint statement between Papa and the NFL because you got to let people down easily. You know,
you got to know it's amicable too.
Sure.
You don't want you don't want the NFL being crushed. And Papa John's, by the way, top the logo on top of the NFL. You don't want Papa John's crushing the
side
NFL.
By side.
Like, yeah, because there's got to be some damage
normally
control.
Normally, how it's done.
No, Papa John. because this is made.
Sure.
These are the. Is it Papa John's crack social media team that put out that kick-ass tweet about?
Right. Every time I open up Darren Rovell's Twitter account, I just hear it in my head. Oh, yeah. Scoops Rovell is on it.
I don't know what why they would pay him.
No, what he does is scour the internet and pick off the greatest things that he sees. And
but they're involving, like, business. You guys never saw it, and maybe if we... Well, Mike, if he has time to look for it. There is an ESPN thing where they are with Darren Rovell at the during the Super Bowl, mm-hmm. but he's like has like five monitors up, and like he's watching the commercials and he's like tweeting out with two hands. It's like, you ever see Grandmaster Flash when he's in the kitchen, like he's doing the turntable? Right.
He's the keyboardist from Bon Jovi.
Yeah.
He's got two going at the same time.
He's like doing, he's like it's someone from Yes, like doing like 18 solos. He's Geddy Lee playing the bass and the keyboards at the same time. So it's so great. He's sitting there and he's like got this smile on his face and he'll like spin around and he'll be like, oh yeah, Budweiser, Clydesdales. And then it's just great. He's just Darren Rovell. What, like, why are you paying? He's got to get paid by the hour.
Right, he's in there. Rovell's on it again. Rovell, what are you tweeting about now? Papa J, in this hand.
Oh, no, Pizza Hut in the picture. Right. Got to get it out for the people.
I do love how this all went down. And I guess I just want to ask Papa. All the millions of dollars you spent to be the official sponsor of the NFL, was it worth it just to be the first guy to kiss Peyton Manning after he won the Super Bowl?
Yes.
Was it all worth it? Because at that, I'd quit too. I'd say I'm done. You can't get you can't climb a higher mountain than that, reach a greater zenith than giving a big old smooch to that giant forehead. the minute he won that Super Bowl. That was the greatest. That was the greatest moment. Before he even kissed his wife, before he like hugged and he was dear, it was Papa John was right there with you. I'm surprised he didn't have a hot pie ready for him.
Well,
as soon as he stepped on the
floor. Know he got into the locker room and just was flinging pies like so many Frisbees.
That's right.
One sweet spiral at a time.
He was like, yo, gentlemen. He was just like flipping dough in the locker room.
Right. You know, Von Miller was holding the Lombardi, and when he saw a pizza coming at him, he dropped it so he could get this awesome sweet pie instead.
I'll tell you this, is that here's a Darren Rovell tweet. Pizza stores in U.S., Pizza Hut, 7,522, Domino's, 5,491, Little C's, 4,390, Papa's, 3,365, Papa Murphy's, coming out of nowhere, I don't even know what that is, 1,501. So you're sitting there and you're like going through life without that information. Because Ravel's got to follow up on it. He can't just go, hey, Papa John's, no longer the official pizza. Let's get the hard stats. let's figure out. And then he's got a percentage change.
Mm-hmm.
Papa John's only up 1% in terms of stores, while the Hut down 2.2%. So the Hut looking to climb back up into things. Darren Rovell's job is fascinating to me. Oh, boy. He's got... 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 Papa John's tweets in a row.
Oh, come on. Give it to me. Give it to me. I need it, Rovell.
All right. Ride
those keys.
Breaking. Papa John's and the NFL have ended their sponsorship deal. Founder CEO John Schnatter left on January 1st as CEO in part because of his comments of players not standing for the anthem hurt sales. Papa John's sales were down 3.9% in October through December compared to the year before. Next time, joint statement from the NFL and Papa's. Next time, Papa John says they've hired Laundry Service and Olson & Gage, which is, in my opinion, the number one ad firm and number one PR firm in the U.S. today. Next one, Papa John still will be the official pizza of 22 NFL teams, and God help you if he's not. Just can't use the NFL shield. Teams are allowed to do individual beer and telecommunication deal with companies that are not the official league sponsor. That, by the way, has three comments. Then he goes, Papa John's and the NFL ending sponsorship deal. This is when he can hash it all out. And then he comes in with the pizza stores in the U.S. to change in 2017. He's got 2.02 million followers.
He has over 2 million followers.
Everyone needs to be lobotomized. This is why social media exists. So people can, 2 million people can know every detail about Papa John's pulling out of the NFL contract. Little Caesars, Domino's, Pizza Hut. Out of nowhere, Papa Murphy's, Papa Murphy's.
This way really lets it roll. Yeah, that's people now getting the tweets.
Now going into Jordan Brand and going over here with Russell Wilson. Autographed Yankees card sold by Topps for $200 a piece today. Sold out in 30 minutes. Who's 2.2 million followers? He put up how much a Russell Wilson signed Yankees card is. You had to put that up.
This is kind of interesting. Someone says, doesn't Jerry Jones own a bunch of Papa John's too? Maybe Roger Goodell is messing with Jerry, whatever. But that's honestly
a story.
Yeah, I think that Jerry Jones probably convinced Papa John, you need to get out of this. As a matter of fact, Jerry Jones kind of did an FU to the league yesterday, is that he is withdrawing the tickets for the Cowboys from being on Ticketmaster, the official seller for the NFL, and he's gone with SeatGeek. And I don't think he's the only team to do that. I think the Saints do that as well. But it's different. The amount of tickets you sell for the Saints and for that palace with the Dallas Cowboys, there's a little bit of a discrepancy in the amount of cash that's being brought in.
All I know is if you won 135,000 tweets, you can be one of the 2.02 million people and follow Darren Rovell for all that information. We will be back with those tickets to the big Harpoon Brewery situation. And, you know, you just stroll down and see what you get. Phil Knight's 80th birthday. The Nike campus changed some Nike signs to Phil. Handed out Phil T-shirts. Justin Fried's out of Carolina Panthers bidding. Two legitimate candidates emerge. Another pair of Converse shoes said to be worn by Michael Jordan. UNC season hits the market. Michelob Ultra, the fastest growing beer in America, unveils the new beer, Pure Gold, betting not only that you won a...
I don't know. I can't do it anymore.
All right, we'll be right back. 98.5.
Kutcher and Rich.
Aaron Rovell, I was talking about how he did something during the Super Bowl where he was, like, watching it on TV, but he had legit 5 monitors in front of him and, like, 8 social media accounts going at the same time. And he very proud of himself, and Mike Lockhart pulled some of the audio.
So I'm Darren Rovell, and it is the Super Bowl, Super Bowl 50. I've kind of been building up for weeks and weeks, trying to figure out what my content's going to be. So today we're just going to kind of show you what the most crazy day in the life of my life is. This is just my tweet deck. So I have my home, my notifications, all my planned tweets. Here is stuff that I have to get to. Here are all the commercials. Getting a text now. So here we go. We're going to bring this live. I'm going to delete that. Boom.
Oh, my God.
And that's like a commercial. Like that, that like.
Did he
like,
say boom when he pressed the word tweet?
Yes. He goes boom. And he's like, boom. Ah,
take that. Heads are going to explode.
But 2.2 million people.
A text now. So here we go. We're going to bring this live. I'm going to delete that. Boom.
Oh, my God.
We are rocking.
Oh, boy. He's tweeting about, like, shoes.
Yeah.
And you know,
he's watching television and commenting on it.
And not commenting, like, on the game, commenting on the commercials.
Millions and millions and millions and millions of people do every single day.
Yeah, he's getting his content, and it's the craziest day of the year for him.
This reminds me of that Onion article. Have you seen the one with his coworker with 2 computer screens not effing around?
Yes. That was he times that by 5.
Oh, my God.
We are rocking. Holy smokes. I just got a good one from Google. This is Peyton doing the tango. And that's a face mask like I've never seen.
Puppy monkey baby, are you kidding? I got a call, Budweiser.
Tell me that wasn't paid for. It wasn't?
All right, this is going to be a big one. I don't like that.
So, he's on. He's got to get Budweiser on the horn to see if that was a paid-for thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, he's a lot of pressure on the man during the Super Bowl.
He's, like, busting into the Nakatomi Plaza. And the quarterback is toast.
Yep.
He's as excited as you could be.
Yep. He's a boom. Ah-ha. Got to get that content. Yeah, he is something else, that Darren Rovell. It's a sign of the times. Mm-hmm. We're living in a good time. That 2.02 million people are following that.
I'm pretty sure I don't follow him, and now I kind of want to just for the comedy reason.
You might as well. You know, Rovell's got some sort of, like, in with Twitter where there's, like, 75 million robots that follow him. Like,
well, I mean, there was that article about people who buy their Twitter followers.
Yeah.
And I think Ray Lewis was one of the people that was busted.
That's right.
Yeah,
I thought I was buying Magic Beans.
No, you were not buying Magic Beans. You're buying Twitter followers. I don't know why you would need that to, I don't know, bump up your value.
I wanted a bird that people would follow around.
You wanted what?
A bird that people would follow around. I saw a picture of a bird.
See, that's not what Twitter is.
No, was it blue, the bird?
Yeah, bluebird.
That's right.
I said, I want to see that all these birds following that bird around.
Isn't that a bus? Like, is that right? Bluebird buses? Is that what that is?
Huh?
I don't know. I just tried to think. Bluebird. You're very strange.
Bluebird, sing a song for me.
Okay.
Tweet, tweet.
Tell me you don't want this on Monday Night Football.
Tweet, tweet.
Go ahead, tell me that.
My phone! Get out of the bird! Tweet, tweet. Dang phone!
Yeah, no, it's not a real bird. It's Twitter. It's the name of the website, the app.
Tweet, tweet. Shut up! Dang bird! All right. We will have recaps for you in just a moment.